Romans chapter 5. In Romans, we're still in the section on justification. This morning we are in sanctification. Sanctification is a result of justification. But in Romans, we're studying the detailed account. Romans chapter 5. Verses 1 through 6, therefore, after having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had access by faith into this grace, wherein we now have been standing. And we boast. The word rejoice is not the normal word for rejoice. It's the word for boasting. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we boast in tribulation or affliction also, knowing that tribulation or affliction is working out endurance. Patience in the King James text makes reference to circumstances. And it's the word to remain under. So here it's talking about endurance. Affliction works out endurance. And endurance, proof. Very fascinating word. And proof works out hope. And hope is not making ashamed, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given unto us. Stop there at verse 5. Romans chapter 5. Chapter 4, we began this study with the principles of justification. Here we're studying the privileges of justification. The privileges of justification. There are five of them. In the first five verses, we spoke last week on the first one in verse 1. We have peace with God. We have peace with God because in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 7, it tells us that the natural mind is enmity or is hostile against God. We are naturally in rebellion to God. But through Jesus Christ, we now have peace with God. We are no longer fighting against Him, because justification means that Christ, through Christ Jesus, He has made us right with God. We are lined up with Him and we are right with God. Therefore, we have peace with God. Remember, the word peace means to be united, to be at one with. We're no longer fighting against God. In our spirit, in our soul, we are now at peace with Him. And that is positional and it never changes. But we don't always experience the peace of God. We saw from Philippians chapter 4 that the solution to the differences between believers, Paul says, be satisfied with the Lord. Let your moderation be known to all people. Be not anxious, and let your requests be made known to God. And he says, the outcome will be, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We don't always experience the peace of God, but we always have peace with Him. I am not always one and united with Him in the focus of my attention in all of my circumstances. But positionally, I am always at peace with God. Christ put me there. But the Lord wants me to experience the peace of God, to be at one with Him, experientially in every situation. And this happens through Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 tells us, for he is our peace. So peace is a person. It has a definite article with it in the Greek text. He is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles. So making everybody one is called making peace. That's what peace means, oneness, unity. So it's through Christ that I experience the peace of God. But secondly, in verse 2, it tells us that we have access also, through whom, that is Jesus Christ, also we have had access by faith into this grace. Notice the perfect tense verbs. We have had access. We have been standing. Once I receive Christ, I am in a position not only to be at peace with God, but also to have access to God. I have easier access to God than I do the President of the United States. Maybe even the mayor of Santa Maria. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, Paul says, "For through him," that's Christ, "we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Because God has given me his Spirit, I now have free access to the Father. I don't have to check in with anybody. There's no guards at the door. No machines are going to check me for weapons or bombs. I have free access to God. The means by which I have this access is by faith. If God tells me I have it, I believe it. I take advantage of it. By faith, I have access into this grace. Grace means favor. It's the basis upon which we are saved. We are saved by grace through faith. God's favor upon us. Which means he takes nothing into consideration other than our need. Some people call it unmerited favor. And even though that's true, that's not God's attitude. He doesn't say, "Here, you don't deserve it, but here, let me do this for you." Kind of like, sorry. But God says, "You need for me to do this for you. Your life has been ruined by sin. I'll take care of the penalty. I'll take care of the punishment problem. I'll send my Spirit to live inside of you. I'll take care of all the damage that sin has done, because my Spirit will live within you and function into grace." I have free access to grace 24 hours a day. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, the writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ has now passed through the heavens. That's very important, because heaven is pictured as like a tabernacle area, like the temple area. Passed through the heavens, and he is now in the Holy of Holies, interceding for us. In fact, the Bible says he's our mercy seat also. He's every piece of furniture inside the tabernacle representing us. But Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast," literally let us grip our profession. Hold on to it. "For we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come with confidence, it says. Come with boldness to find grace at the time of need. That's what God says. God says, come. You have free access to the throne at any time. You need my grace, you need my favor, just come. That's his ministry to us. That's his gift to us. That's the benefit and the privilege that we have because the Lord justified us by his death on the cross. This grace in which we have been standing, again, the perfect tense. It's a condition. We always are in a condition of access to grace, and we are always standing in that grace. The third thing, in verse 3, and we boast. The word boast, remember I told you that the Greek word doesn't mean rejoice like the normal word for rejoice. At the end of verse 2, wherein we stand and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We boast two things. To boast in the Greek, kalkomai, doesn't mean to be arrogant. It means to be confident. When I boast in what Christ has done for me, I'm telling people, it's a done deal. Well, how do you know it? I haven't talked myself into it. It's just confidence. We boast. And the first thing we boast about is that we boast in the hope of the glory of God. The word hope in Greek doesn't mean a wish. It means to have expectation. I expect one day to be in God's glory in His presence. I don't hope I will be someday as a wish. I expect to be there. That's my hope in life. When we turn on the news and hear about all the terrible things that are happening in our world, when we look at our own life and say physically or circumstantially, our own life has fallen apart. I still have my hope. This isn't home. This isn't where it's about. One day I will stand in the glory of God. But secondly, verse 3 tells me, not only do we hope in the glory of God, but not only this, but we boast in tribulations or afflictions. This is the Greek word phlepsis. And it has to do with stress and pressure of the mind. In case you haven't noticed, that's what life is all about. Whatever difficult times we go through, the difficult circumstances themselves don't produce anything. It's the stress that is produced that goes on inside our minds. It's the stress that we feel in life. They, in and of themselves, don't do anything to us. It's the stress that is produced. The Bible calls these times of tribulation or affliction. In fact, Paul, in Acts chapter 14, when he went back through the first cities that he evangelized in, he told them that it is necessary that through much phlepsis that you enter into the kingdom of heaven. So what God does, and I think of this every time I brush my teeth. It has nothing to do with my teeth. It has to do with the toothpaste. You squeeze it, cause pressure to get the toothpaste come out. What God does is put us in circumstances that puts the pressure on us to come to Christ. Where are we going to go? We go from outside to inside to inside. And then it's, oh, finally. I'm at one with, I'm at peace. I experience the peace of Christ. I'm already at peace with Him. Why not take advantage of that? That's why it's taken care of for us, so that we can experience the peace of Christ. But we boast about our afflictions. You ever hear many Christians boast about their afflictions? Other people come up. Boy, you're going through hard times. I thought you were a Christian. Oh, yeah. Well, we have a purpose for the difficulties we go through. I can tell you with confidence that this is God's working things out in my life, and He's changing me, and He's bringing me closer to Him because of it. Non-believers don't see difficult times as producing that kind of development. We boast in our afflictions, and you're saying, do we? We do, huh? But notice what it says, knowing. So again, it's based on knowing something. We don't just have confidence in them because the Bible says this is what we're supposed to do. It's because of knowing something. Same thing that James says in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations or trials. Joy, count it all joy. The word count means let the leading thought of your mind, and the word joy in Greek means satisfaction. We've got lots of thoughts going on when we're in difficult times. He says, let the leading thought of your mind that directs all your thought traffic, let it be with all satisfaction. Knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. That's the endurance, the hupomeno. So it's not a mind game. Though I experience many thoughts in my mind, in the various situations in life that I am in, James says, let the leading thought of your mind be satisfaction, because God put you in those circumstances in order to produce endurance, a remaining under. In case you haven't noticed, we have a tendency to run. God, get me out of this. God's saying, I got you into it. Well, if I move, that'll help. And if you move to get out of your circumstances, God has some more waiting for down the line, because if we get out of this one, He has more for us to get in to experience the same result. Never ends. Knowing that the testing of your faith is working endurance, but let endurance have its complete work. Don't quit. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So stick it out. Trust the Lord, and you'll learn how to remain under your circumstances on His strength. And then it says, I always have to slip this in there, James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. How many times have you heard somebody pick up the message right there? If anybody lacks wisdom, just ask God. He'll give you wisdom. Be careful what you ask for in context. Because verse 4 said, let endurance have its complete work, that you may be perfect and entire, not lacking in any one area. Is anyone lacking wisdom? Let him ask from God. Wisdom is knowing the Lord in difficult situations. It's not something that's mystically comes down and He gives us wisdom for all the situations. Hey, where'd you get that great wisdom? You got the wisdom of Solomon. Just just something that came on me while I was sitting out in the car and prayed for it. And ask me whatever you want. I got the wisdom of Solomon. It's not something that mystically comes down on us. We have to consider and remember that wisdom in the Bible represents someone who can see and understand and know life in a deeper dimension. Life isn't what you see. Life isn't what you feel. It's what's going on in the spirit realm around us. To be able to understand and know God's ways and know His plan and know that He's going to put us in difficult times for us to learn to trust Him and to experience Him. The more I experience Him in the difficult situations, the more I'm able to impart that wisdom to other people. That's wisdom. Wisdom comes from experience. And so, we experience the things in life over years, and it takes years. My mentor used to tell us that a person shouldn't pastor a church unless he's at least 50 years old. I thought, what does he know? You know, I'm in my mid-20s. These older people don't know what they're talking about. You know, through raising family and through all the hardships of life, he's able then to impart wisdom because he's experienced Christ for a few years. Imparting Bible school knowledge to people is not ministry, even though God might minister it some things about it. Because ministry isn't just about a book and words. It's about life, the reality of Christ in life. So afflictions and tribulations, back to Romans 5, is working out endurance. And endurance is working out proof. Notice our literal translation. Some translations have proven character. King James says it works out experience. All those things are true. But the word itself means proof. And this is the thing that I love about the teaching of Scripture. Because not only here, but also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, it says, we who are being kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. We're being kept for salvation. We rejoice over that. Even though now for a season, if necessary, you are in heaviness through various trials. That the trying or testing of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The word trying, the trying of your faith, is the word proving. Not only does God prove His presence and person to us in our situations, but it's proof for everybody. God proves Himself by putting His people in some of the hardest difficulties a person can ever be in. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, most of the situations are beyond the human ability to handle it because it's designed for God. I mean, if I can handle it with God's help, you know, praise God. I won the lottery. He gave me all these numbers. But it's beyond me. I can boast and say, wow, the Lord's really taking me through a hurricane. What? Yeah. The deeper the storm, the deeper the relationship. If it's a difficult storm we go through, we experience Him in a deeper way. That's why Paul can say, well, I'm not going to pray for deliverance anymore. Lord, bring it on. My paraphrase. Bring on the difficulties, because the more difficult they are, knowing that you planned them, the deeper I'm going to experience Christ when I trust Him in them. See? You know, at the beginning we get our toes wet. It's kind of like, ooh, Lord, deliver me. You know, wait till He throws you in the deep end. And He's your life support. Proof. Endurance produces proof. And proof produces hope. When God proves Himself to me that indeed I belong to Him, because He puts me in difficult circumstances, knowing that it's not going to blow me out of the water. It can't, because I have Christ. Remembering the parable of the sower, one of the pieces of soil received the word of God in and amongst weeds and thorns. Another type received the seed in shallow ground. Didn't have much depth to it. And underneath the dirt was a rock surface. So it was really of stone, but it looked like it was dirt earth. For that person, when they receive the word of God, they're receiving the seed into this thin layer of soil. I was always fascinated as a gardener, as I would put grass seed down on people's yards for the winter. I come back the next week, nothing. But in the gutter of the street, like grass this high, from the seeds that fell in the gutter. And it just had a little bit of dirt in it. That's all it takes. But it doesn't last. That's the point of the parable. The person who is shallow, the person who receives the word with joy and excitement, when trials come, Jesus said, they leave, they quit. What was proven? They didn't belong to the Lord. Not because they couldn't make it, it's because Jesus didn't keep them. And so, what looks good quickly on the outside of someone's Christian faith, you look at it and say, geez, it's taken me years to grow. Look at that person. Just known the Lord for 6 months, and look at all this outward stuff that's going on. And then a week later you hear, oh, they're not even with the Lord anymore. They quit. What happened? They were so on fire for the Lord. Yeah, they burned up, I guess. I don't know. But it produces hope. See, I have a hope looking forward to going to be with Christ, because I see Him working in my life and I experience Him. I experience His keeping power, Him keeping me and sustaining me. Whether I freak out or not, He does it anyway. It gives me hope. It boosts my expectancy, because He proves to me that I belong to Christ. Verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed. We can be ashamed in our difficulties when people say, I thought you were supposed to be a Christian. God is supposed to do all this stuff for you. Hey, He's preparing me. He's changing me. I'm experiencing more of Him so I can enjoy more of Him later. No need to be ashamed. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Did you catch that? Love is not from us. It's poured out in our hearts. And look who it's from. And by the way, that's the fourth benefit and blessing. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts. And fifthly, through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Wow. We have peace with God. We have continual access to His throne, 24 hours a day, in the grace that we're already standing in. And we boast with confidence, in hope. And we boast with confidence in all the difficulties and trials and tribulations that we find ourselves in, because God is proving Himself to us, and God is proving us to others. He's got to belong to Christ. It's crazy to go through all that for nothing. Who'd want to go through that? The only life that we have, why would we want to sacrifice it to go through difficult times to experience Christ just to pass on from this life and find out there's nothing to it? What a waste of time. But no matter how many times I doubt in my human the things of the Bible, because it's just words on a page, no matter how many times I doubt in my human, I can count more times that He has proven Himself to me in the Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit that He's given to me. The privileges of being justified. It's all ours. And you don't have to work for it. You already have it. Continue on next week to learn more. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that we can learn about Jesus Christ and we can learn of the inheritance which is already ours. We're already standing in the grace of Christ. We already have access to the throne of God. We can come anytime in time of need because that's what His ministry is to us. To experience Him in the difficult times. Experience Him sustaining us. Manifesting and magnifying Himself to us. And through us to others. That we have a hope. Not only in this life, but a hope in the life hereafter. That's not a wish. It's not human. It's not religious. It's real. Because God's Spirit has made it real to us. And made Christ real to us. Help us not to be caught up in the yoke of bondage. Where false teaching teaches us to produce these great blessings that we have. Truly help us to see that Christ has set us free. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.